You're going to find out today what the Word of God says about your enemy, the devil, whose primary goal is to devour and ruin you. Open your Bibles and listen carefully as Brother Dan Corner points us all to Scripture. Here's Brother Dan.
Today we're going to find out what the Bible says, that is what God's Word has to say about the devil. It's very interesting to study this entity, this personality called the devil. And that's exactly what he is. We know he is a real creature because Jesus spoke with him in Luke 4, Matthew 4. Jesus was tempted by the devil, but also in the book of Job. God spoke with the devil there. They actually had a dialogue. So this is not a non-existent thing, only real if you think he's real. No, the devil really does exist. And he's referred to frequently throughout the Bible. He's a very religious being. Make note of that. I said the devil is a very religious being and he wants worship. Shocking as it may be to some, the devil is actually called in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world. And in John 12, John 14, and John 16, he's called the Prince of this world. He's aggressive, he's plotting, he's planning, and he can bring certain people and events and circumstances into a person's life for harm and for testings. And of course, he tempts with sin. And he's able to accomplish his malicious evil goals through deception, especially with false teachings. He has been very successful ruining lives and damning souls. We also learn, among all of that, that the devil is watching and waiting for an opportune time to come to us and tempt us. We are told in the Bible to resist him and to submit to God and to pray. Not only pray for ourselves, but pray for all the saints. And not only that, we are to fear God, not the devil. Nowhere are we told in the Bible to fear the devil, even though he may be called, and he is, in Psalm 8:2, the Avenger. The Apostle Paul was a true, faithful servant, zealot for the Lord Jesus, and in spite of the fact that he was bringing forth so much fruit and living so holy and godly, never in any of the Pauline epistles do you see that he was ever fearful of the avenger or anything that the devil would throw at him. And that's how we need to be. Don't fear the devil and his wrath, fear God and God's wrath. Let's realize the very first time the devil ever accomplished anything, and it all began with a religious lie, contradicting flatly what God had said in Genesis chapter 2. God had warned Adam that the day he eats the fruit of the forbidden tree, that he would surely die. The devil came along and he said to Eve, "You will not surely die." And of course, unfortunately, you know the story from there. They both yielded, they did the wrong thing, listened to the devil, and really the devil was after Adam, but he went to get Adam through Eve, and he was successful, unfortunately. Now here's the shocking thing about the devil, something that will really surprise a lot of people. Now when I grew up not really being taught the message of the Bible, just bits and pieces of the Bible, total distortion from reality. I was told that the devil is in hell. Of course, that's not true. He's certainly not in hell, and he's certainly not weak. The devil has great supernatural powers. Again, I want to magnify that. The devil has great supernatural powers, and he can and does perform miracles and visions. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, one of the most important verses to know in the entire Bible about visions and satanic visions especially, is that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. He can come in visions. And there's been all kind of different visions all throughout the world and all kind of different religious beliefs. And these unfortunately contradict the message of the Bible. And because they contradict the message of the Bible, they are poison to a person spiritually. And of course, that would come from the father of lies. It would originate from the devil, our enemy. And that's exactly what the devil is. You have one chief enemy, and that one chief enemy is not anybody in flesh and blood. Your one chief enemy is the devil himself, a spiritual being created by Almighty God. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, that the devil can come as an angel of light, meaning that he's behind certain visions. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we learn more of the supernatural powers of the devil. The Bible says this, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accord with the work of Satan, displayed in all kind of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. In every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." So the Bible says here that the coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, there is going to be an outbreak of miracles. Miracles, signs, and wonders, and these are the same words in the Greek used to describe what the Lord Jesus did. Imagine that. It's going to be an outbreak of miracles, signs, and wonders, but it's coming from the devil. The devil is the one that gives the Antichrist his abilities in this way to deceive and lead people astray. The devil is a very, very successful deceiver. And take warning. If you remember anything from this message, let this be one of the things you remember. You must be very, very guarded or the devil will deceive you. He's been very successful. Of course, I already mentioned Adam and Eve. But in 1 John 5:19, the Bible says that we know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So the devil has all the unbelievers deceived. He has them under his control. And he leads the whole world astray. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He's a deceiver. He's an excellent deceiver. He's going to try to get people away from the message of the Bible, the written word of God. He doesn't care if he does it through so-called tradition, through the early church fathers, through a vision, through a dream, through an experience, through misusing scripture. And I'm going to get into it more in a few minutes, but the devil can actually quote scripture, as you will see. Definitely in connection with the devil's power to bring forth visions, in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, we read something very, very significant. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5, we read, "The devil led him," that's Jesus, "up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world." Ponder that statement. In a moment's time, very quickly, as we would say in a split second, the devil showed Jesus, when he was tempting him here from this high place, all the kingdoms of the world. Now, how could that be possible except through a vision? So the devil gave Jesus a vision to tempt him and, of course, to lead him astray from the will of God. So he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Quickly, boom. That fast, he has that ability to do that. We got to be on our guard. It's that simple. We must be on our guard. This devil, his end is already established. It's written in the scriptures. We know what's going to happen to him, even though he's not there yet. The devil is going to end up in eternal fire. Matthew 25:41, Jesus is going to say to the goats there, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So the devil is going to eternal fire. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, we see a similar thing. He's going to the lake of burning sulfur, and he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. No question. The devil has already been judged. This is what's going to happen. Somebody might ask, well, what does the devil really get out of it when he's ruining lives and leading people astray from God? He doesn't personally get anything out of it. It's not like he's getting a reward for it. He's called the evil one. He must get his joys and his joy just by ruining it for other people, for devouring people. He just wants to take them down and hurt people. And if he can deceive people away from doing the will of God, that is his goal. That is his purpose. There's another scripture from 1 Timothy 3:6 that speaks specifically of the judgment of the devil. When the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy who to establish as a elder, he said he must not be a recent convert or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. That shows, of course, the same horrible judgment that has been pronounced already on the devil can also be a reality for new converts in Christ if they're lifted up in pride and they fall as the devil did because of that position being put in spiritual leadership when they're not ready for that. It's too much for them and they can't handle that and they're going to fall spiritually. So one of the things for sure that the devil wants to do, he wants to hurt your faith. Because we're saved by a saving faith in Jesus. A saving faith is a faith that submits to Jesus and follows Jesus unashamedly in this dark and sinful world. what you have to do, you have to guard your heart, because the devil is going to try to strike at your heart. He's going to try to get the Christian impure. He's going to try to bring him down to spiritual death. So you must be guarded. You must be alert to the things going on. And you must not leave the message of the Bible. You must not let anything pull you away from the message of the Bible. You have to place that first and foremost. I think I already mentioned that the devil can quote scripture. And I want to magnify something along with that truth. When the devil did quote scripture in Matthew chapter 4, we see that he had Jesus at the pinnacle of the temple. That was the holiest place on the planet at the time. Now imagine that. So the devil himself, the evil one, Satan, is at the holiest place on the planet. And what does he do at that point? He's quoting scripture. He's misusing the word of God, and he's tempting Jesus to test the Lord God by throwing himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Jesus responded to the devil in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So those little words, it is also written, are very, very significant words, showing that if somebody's quoting scripture and what they're saying conflicts with another part of the word of God, then you must question it. Don't believe it. Don't receive it. Don't act upon it. And though the devil stated that the angels of God will protect the person, to do that intentionally, as snake handlers do with rattlesnakes, is actually putting the Lord God to the test. And that's a violation of the word of God at another time. So the devil can quote scripture. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, we find out the devil had finished all of his tempting. He left Jesus for an opportune time. Now I find that very significant, because it says he left him for an opportune time. That means he was planning on coming back when it was more opportune for him, for him to accomplish his goals, if that could be accomplished at all in the life of the Lord Jesus. And we know it wasn't. Jesus was successful. Jesus never sinned. He died for our transgressions on the cross. He rose again from the grave. And the devil certainly is a defeated foe. In fact, he was defeated even before the cross. We know that because of Matthew 25 and other scriptures. But nonetheless, the devil knows when an opportune time comes, which suggests that he must be watching. And he travels around throughout the earth, prowling around looking for someone to devour. That says to me not to give the devil an opportunity by avoiding certain people, certain places, and certain things. Things that would tend to give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin and to religiously deceive you. It's not a good idea to go everywhere on the internet and read religious teachings or hear religious sermons on the radio or TV or read books by different authors. You can be deceived. The 100% sure guarantee that you won't be deceived is if you stick to the Bible, read the Bible, especially the New Testament, over and over, memorize and ponder the Word of God. That is 100% truth, and your eternal destiny and your ability to help other people in this life depends on what you do with that message. That is the problem for the devil. It's the Word of God that he hates, and it's the Word of God that he wants to steal away from people. Luke 8:12 says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. In this particular teaching, the parable of the sower, this was the type of person that was never saved to begin with. And it's only the fourth type in the parable of the sower, because they persevered with the word of God. They brought forth fruit, 30, 60, or 100-fold. And that's how it is with you and me. You're going to have to persevere with the word of God, not with church tradition, not with some creed or some confession written up by some man somewhere, or what the early church fathers or someone else has said on TV or radio or anywhere else. It's what the Bible says. So we know the devil hates the word of God, and he's out there to contradict the word of God and steal the word of God away. So obviously, one of the best things for him to do is to stop the word of God from going forth to begin with. If he could do that, if he could stop the sower from sowing the word of God, it's going to be a lot easier for him to deceive and hurt people and devour them. That's exactly what we must bear in mind for all servants of God preaching the word of God. If you're a servant of God, preaching the word of God, witnessing, evangelizing, trying to do the will of God, helping other people as well as yourself, so you have to pray for yourself, but pray for all the saints as well. All the ones doing God's will, preaching his word, pray for us. We need it. Be assured the devil hates us and attacks us as well. And what we need, this is all of us, we all need the whole armor of God, all of it, so that we won't be deceived by the devil because of his schemes. He's a very wily spiritual enemy. And the Bible says we need the full armor of God for that very purpose. Now imagine that. You don't need it for some other purpose. You need it so you can stand against the devil. And we're to be strong in the Lord and power of his might, but we have to put that armor on for ourselves. God's not going to dress us. We have to dress ourselves in God's armor so that we can stand against the devil. And that certainly is a major part of the reason why a lot of people don't last with God. They fall away. They only last a little while, and unfortunately, they backslide, they turn away, they die spiritually and get back on the road to hell again after getting saved. That doesn't have to happen, doesn't always happen for sure, but too often it does happen. Now, here's a very important point about the devil, and it is this. The devil can give us thoughts. There are three ways that thoughts enter a person's mind. Number one, from God. Number two, we generate our own thoughts. And number three, they can come in the form of temptation from the devil. The devil can give us thoughts, and they're not always sinful thoughts. Sometimes they could be thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of fear, or something else that is not specifically going and laboring in the vineyard, doing God's will directly.
You don't have to be deceived and devoured by the devil. As a Christian, you can resist him. Put on the full armor of God and remain faithful to God. Guard your thought life and don't allow your spiritual enemy to ruin what is awaiting you. Hold on to what you have so that no man can take your crown.
We know that the devil definitely can't put thoughts in a person's mind because he prompted Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. In John 13:2, the Bible says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. So we clearly see that he put that kind of thought in Judas's mind. We also see in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, that Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So the devil was the one that was behind David at that point, taking a census of Israel. You might say, well, what's so bad about that? If you look at how many troops you have in Israel, your confidence, your trust would be in the number of troops and the fighting men rather than God. Israel, like us today, we're to trust in God, not how much physical power we might have, how much money we might have, the contacts we have, or anything else. Our trust and confidence is to be in God. So the devil was actually tempting, in a very subtle way, David. And then we also see in the New Testament, Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Acts chapter 5, verse 3. We see another very clear one from the book of Job. And it's a combination of two verses. And it boils down to Job's wife actually speaking out the very words that the devil tried to accomplish in Job's life by crushing him in various ways, not only physically, but also in a financial manner, losing all of his livestock, his children died, all that occurred in one day, except his physical health was ruined on the second wave of temptation. But during the second wave of temptation in Job chapter 2, verse 9, Job's wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. She actually verbalized the very goal that the devil had for Job. We also see in Matthew 16:21-23, Jesus had just began to explain to the disciples he's going to go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took Jesus aside, began to rebuke Jesus, and Peter said to him, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. So guess what? Jesus went ahead, he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Peter actually was the mouthpiece of the devil unwittingly when he thought he was going to protect the Lord and not allow this to happen. This was all God's will for the Lord Jesus, obviously, to go to the cross. And he was actually entertaining the devil's thoughts in a very subtle manner when this was transpiring. Very, very interesting to ponder all this and how the devil can come at us. So again, we must be very guarded. Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, do not give the devil a foothold, which really means a spot, an opportunity to drag you down. Do you remember the teaching that Jesus gave in Luke 15 of the prodigal son? The devil tempted him away from the presence of the Father. We might think, well, that's impossible, but absolutely, positively is not impossible. We see it not only in the Word of God, but in real life. Many people that I've encountered in my Christian life have gone astray, backslid, fallen away. Some have come back to God. Unfortunately, many have not. They have fallen away, and they have not come back to the Lord. So the thing to do is not to entertain the devil's thoughts. He's going to put thoughts and imaginations in our mind. The Apostle Paul cast these thoughts and imaginations down, and that's exactly what we need to do. And please know this, don't play with sin. You cannot sin and get away with it, and the devil's temptations come your way to destroy you, to ruin it for you. He's the enemy of your soul, and he's going to tempt you with sin. Consider all the people in prison that have ruined lives. They were tempted by the devil. Their lives are ruined. They're crushed. They went to an early grave because of sin. So we must be alert and self-controlled. And that's what Peter said when he was addressing the devil in this particular chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 8. He said, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So the devil doesn't look for somewhere to eat breakfast or lunch or supper or a good bargain in a store somewhere. He's looking for someone to devour. He wants to swallow you just like a lion swallows its prey. So we're told to be alert and self-controlled. Notice, it's our responsibility. God is not doing it for us. If it was up to God, nobody would ever be devoured by the devil. Nobody would ever be led into sin or false doctrine. Everybody would always have sound doctrine. Everybody would always walk holy because that's God's will. And that's why the devil tempts us, because he knows that he can be and has been often, too often, successful by tempting people. So we're told here in 1 Peter 5:8 to be self-controlled and alert. And in James chapter 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So you got to resist the devil. When these thoughts come into your mind, whatever kind of wicked thought it might be, if it's a hateful thought, an unforgiving thought, if it's a lustful thought, if it's a greedy thought, if it's some other kind of thought like revenge, you need to resist those thoughts, and you're resisting the devil. Fill your mind with God's word. Get some wholesome Christian music. Listen to that. Hum it. Worship the Lord. Get your mind on truth, God's word, and away from the devil's thoughts, and the devil will flee from you. But you have to resist him first for him to flee. The devil can cause physical sufferings and persecutions. We know that because of what happened in Job chapter 2. Job was afflicted with painful sores all over his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. In Luke chapter 13, verse 16, Satan kept a woman bound 18 long years. Imagine that, in a physical affliction. And Jesus went ahead and healed her. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we find out that the devil will put some of them in prison and they will suffer persecution for 10 days, but be faithful even to the point of death. And Jesus says, "I will give you the crown of life." The devil's behind persecutions for righteous living. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Where does it come from? Does it come from God? Oh, no, 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 no. The devil's behind it. The devil hates the word of God. He doesn't want you to spread the word of God. He doesn't want you to act on the word of God. He doesn't want you to obey God. He doesn't want you to be faithful to God. He wants to ruin you. There's all kinds of things in the Bible about the devil, one of which is mysterious. It's in Jude verse 9. We read this. "But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" So we have to ask ourselves, why? Why did the devil want Moses' body? The Bible doesn't say. You can look all through the Bible, the Bible does not say. But we know he's the evil one, so there had to have been some kind of evil goal in mind. Maybe to lead the Israelites into idolatry by worshiping his body rather than worshiping God. But whatever it was, he wanted Moses' body. Also, I would like to say that the devil knew about righteous Job. In Job chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him, is blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." And the devil replied, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" So the devil knew all about Job. He knew all about that righteous man. There was nobody on earth like Job. None. He was in a class of his own, the most holy and upright, blameless man on the face of the earth. And if you're following Jesus and you're set apart and you're dedicated, I want you to know the devil knows about you too. But don't fear him. You fear God. You keep your hand to the plow and you remain faithful to God. That's the important thing. But the thing is, he knows about the righteous. He knows where they live. He knows what's going on in their life, and he's looking for an opportune time if one would come. But you don't have to give him an opportune time. It's also a shocking detail about the devil to find out in Luke chapter 22 verse 3 and John chapter 13 verse 27 that the devil or Satan actually entered Judas Iscariot's body. So you heard of people being demon possessed? Well, believe it or not, Judas became Satan possessed. The power of the devil was established. It's very clear. He's a religious deceiver. He blinds the minds of those that don't accept the gospel, don't believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And he doesn't care how he gets you to hell. The devil does not care how he gets you to hell. He's just trying to ruin it for you. He wants to get you to hell. He doesn't care if it comes through Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, atheism. He doesn't care if it's Catholicism or eternal security. He doesn't care. He just wants to ruin it for you somehow, some way, and that is his goal. And as long as you have breath in your body, he will be trying to lead you astray. You must endure to the end to be saved, according to what Jesus said, Matthew 10, verse 22. Scripture also speaks of the trap of the devil in 2 Timothy 2:6. So he's trying to outwit us. He has schemes. And we, again, need the full armor of God, according to Luke chapter 6, verse 11, so we don't fall into his trap, so we don't get ensnared in sin. Even though at the point of salvation we were set free from our sin addictions, a person can be overcome by those sins, once again, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, by backsliding. So these things can happen, and that's what will happen to these people that do backslide. And believe it or not, even in the life of the Apostle Paul, he was one of the ones, if not the top person, that had the greatest revelation of the New Testament, the New Covenant. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it says, "For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us." Now grab hold of that. The devil temporarily stopped the Apostle Paul again and again from going and checking up on new converts. The devil stopped Paul and his co-laborers from getting to them to see if everything's all right, if they could help them spiritually in any way, shape, or form. Again, that's what the devil's goal was. The goal of the devil evolves around souls, the opposite of how it should be for Christians. We're trying to win souls. He's trying to get souls lost. He's trying to keep them lost or get the saved people reclaimed and lost again, like the prodigal became dead and lost. That's what he's trying to do through us, through backsliding, through false religion. And bear in mind that not only can the devil give you thoughts, there are doctrines of demons. And of course, the demons are in cahoots with the devil or Satan or Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. These doctrines of demons are poisonous. It's spiritual arsenic, spiritual poison that will drag you down and destroy you spiritually. So that's one of the things that demons do. Most people would never consider for a moment that demons would be involved in religious teachings. But yes, they are. They're involved in visions, dreams, and experiences. Certainly near-death experiences, all the ones that contradict the Bible. The devil clearly, definitely would be behind all of that. He's behind transcendental meditation, different religious experiences where there's great peace that would lead you away from the message of the Bible. Stay in the Bible.
Come to our massive website, evangelicaloutreach.org, where you can learn much more about God, the Christian life, and related spiritual things, including angels and demons. Books, audio, videos, and many text teachings are there. You're battling for your soul. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. To contact us, write Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Make your life count for God.